Thank you, Brother James. You know, the last time that I tried to preach on this broadcast, Brother James said, yeah, you said you didn't get finished, so we're going to get you back first availability. I said, all right, I'll be the first one on the broadcast to do a series. Now, at that point, it was James Conley's turn to nix it or to approve or disapprove. His response was, how cool is that? Now, I'm going to take that as a amen. Go right ahead. The floor is yours. Brother James may say, good, but that doesn't mean that the Lord is involved. We trust that he is. And if he's not, we'll find out real quick, and we'll turn it over to the Old Colony Line singers, and then we'll have church again as our beloved Brother Brown prayed. I was in Psalms 40. I'm going back to Psalms 40, and I want to read in the sixth verse. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. You've got two similar statements, one at the first, one at the last, and then you've got something in the middle. That statement in the middle changed the first to the second there at the end. Sacrifice, and what do you say? Sacrifice and offering, thou didst not desire. But something changed it to you didn't require. Desire, require. Mine ears hast thou opened. That changed. The way I look at it, and I believe I'll have scripture to back me up on this, our personal efforts, our sacrifice, whatever we bring to the service of God or to the throne of grace is not enough. It never could be enough to pay our sin debt. God did not desire an imperfect sacrifice. Mine ears hast thou opened. Change that to I don't require it anymore. It's no longer needed. I'm satisfied. Something satisfied that requirement that is no longer required. Now, we ought to find out what that is. I believe these are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. This verse right here ought to be in red letters. I think this is Christ speaking. David wrote it, but the Holy Spirit overrode David, whatever his personal motive or thoughts and intents were, and now it's the Lord, our Savior, speaking. Mine ears hast thou opened. To us, that doesn't make any sense. My mother used to say to me, Dave, open your ears. You're not listening to me. My wife says that occasionally too. But that's not what this means. This is something entirely, altogether different. Find out, we need to go back into the book of Exodus, and in the 21st chapter of the book of Exodus, and reading in verse 1, now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years shall he serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master hath given him a wife, and she had borne him sons or daughters, The wife and her children shall be her masters, and he shall go out by himself. You know, the Lord had a way that if you were in a bad financial way, you had a debt you couldn't pay, that you could put yourself in service and work off that debt. And in the seventh year, that debt was paid and you went out free. If you were married when you went into service, your wife, your children came out free with you. But if you married in that duration of time of servitude, your wife and your children remained in bondage, in service, and you went out by yourself. But it says this, and if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. So if the man did not want to leave his wife and children, he plainly said, I love my wife, I love my children, I love my master. Then you were brought before the judges, and they took your ear and fastened it to the post of the door and took a sharp instrument and bore your earlobe through. And you put a ring in that ear, and that was a sign that you were now in service to this person for the rest of your life. My beloved friends, that's exactly what our Lord Jesus Christ did for us. He was free. He didn't know anything. But he didn't want to leave his bride behind in bondage. His children, his beloved. He says, I'm going to serve forever that I may be with her. He made a conscious and a willing decision. He says, he must plainly say, I love my wife. I love my children. When you hear the gospel preached, my beloved, that's our Lord saying, I love my wife. He's not coerced. We don't obligate him to do that. We don't meet him halfway that he comes and meets us the rest of the way. He came all the way, plainly, willingly, consciously. He was not surprised by anything in his earthly ministry. He knew exactly what befell him, but yet he set his face like a flint toward Jerusalem to meet his demise for our sake and became a servant. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh, and he bore our sins and paid our debt. And now, my friends, we're with him forever. Mine ears pass thou open. There was nothing the bride could have done to pay that debt. There is nothing the bride could have said. No matter all the works, the good works we've done, not enough. It can't do it. The law made nothing perfect. But the bringing in of a better hope did. And so therefore, my friends, it changes. I don't desire your sacrifice, but I'll take his. And now there's no more need for any sin offering because he paid that debt forever. Now the Apostle Paul takes this very same text in Psalms 40 and in the book of Hebrews in the 10th chapter, the Apostle Paul brings this up. He says it a little bit differently. than as written in Psalms 40. But it says the same thing, but it brings it in a way that we can understand it. Hebrews chapter 10, and I'll read in verse 4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. That's what God did not desire. Not enough. He said, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, that's our Lord Jesus Christ, when he cometh into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. He didn't say, my ears hast thou opened, but he said, a body hast thou prepared me. My friends, he had an existence with the Father up yonder in glory, never knew sin, never was acquainted with any unpleasantness, always was in the presence and the fellowship of God the Father. But a body was prepared him. He willingly tabernacled in the likeness of sinful flesh. As the scripture says, he was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, now crowned with glory and honor. But he had to be made in the likeness of sinful flesh. He had to be made and placed in a form that could suffer death and feel the wrath of God and to pay the give out his heart's blood and die. It gave up the ghost. He was in a body that could die. He'd never known pain. But he knew it then. And he knew he was going to do it. And he did it anyway because I love my wife. I love my children. Now he can say, behold, I and the children which thou hast given me. They're free. They're not in bondage anymore, not in bondage to sin, not debtors to the law. My friends, we're free, and that's why we have the free grace of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And every time, like I said, I love you, I love you, I love you. Do you hear it? I want to hear it more and more as I live. A body hast thou prepared me. And burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin. Thou hast no pleasure. That's our sacrifice. That which was in the law. Let me keep reading. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which is offered by the law. That's what he didn't desire. I know he instigated it, but instituted the law, but he did that to show us we could not do it. We could not satisfy that law, that requirement. We couldn't do it. And so God says, yes, oh, shit, okay, you're doing it, but it's not enough, and it's not enough. Christ said, send me. Open my ears. I love my wife. Prepare me a body. I'll pay that debt. God, when he saw that, then he saw the travail of his soul was satisfied. He said, I don't require that anymore. No more. Gone. Gone forever. I love it when they, in the scapegoat, I read about this in a, I think it was Edersheim wrote this. When they took that scapegoat, they placed the sin. It was all an allegory of Christ, of course. Said a fit man took that scapegoat to a land of forgetfulness. And they would post sentries along the path. And when the last sentry saw the fit man take that goat out into that land of forgetfulness, he would cry out, gone forever. In the next century, we'd hear it, and he'd repeat, "Gone forever." And it would just re-echo down until it reached the camp. And they would run in and they say, "Gone forever." And everyone would shout for joy. Why aren't we shouting? Why don't we? We ought to be, my friends, if they're gone forever, let that be our refrain, gone forever, never to be to remorse. God says, "I don't remember your sins and iniquities." They're forgotten. They're gone. He looks and sees us through Christ, free, redeemed. All is well for his joint heirs with Christ. I wish I could describe it the way I feel it. I fail every time. I love my Lord so much. And I'm so thankful that he brought me to the grand old church to hear this preached over and over. I've tried to understand more. I think about him on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? What pain, what a load of sin was placed upon him. And he bore it, never complaining. And it was done. He said, "It is finished." He would say to Peter one time when Peter was trying to defend the Lord against those who were about to take him, he said, "For this cause came I into the world." The Apostle Paul quoted the next verse in Psalms 40. "Lo, I come." In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. We're wretched sinners. Lo, I come. I sin every day of my life. Lo, I come. I can't do it. Lo, I come. It's written in the volume of the book. We entered a covenant before the world began. I come. This was from the beginning, before the beginning. It was true before the beginning. It's true now. It will always be true. So I will not take any other gospel that puts man in the equation for forgiving sin. Because when you do that, it's not the gospel anymore. Elder Bond Sees wrote, "Though our bodies burn in human sacrifice, this never could atone for sin. Jesus must pay the price." Another song, "He paid the price. He bore my burden." That's why we ought to sing about that sacrifice and give him glory and praise. And if he came willing, I love my wife. I plainly say it. I'm conscious. I know exactly what this means. I know what this means I've got to do to save her. I'm coming. We ought to be ready to do whatever he says right now. Go to church. I'll be, what time does it start? I'll be there 30 minutes early. I mean, if I get there at 10, if I get there 5 minutes before singing, I'm late. That's how I feel about it. Wants you to be baptized? Well, what are you waiting for? Look, baptistry, I come. Here I come. Some folks, it's like a marathon going down that into the aisle all the way up to the preacher. It's like 28 miles. Friends, you can do that in 5 seconds if you run fast enough. Lo, I come. He calls you to preach, preach the gospel. Calls you to sing, sing it. My friends, whatever the Lord desires, let's do it, because look what he did. I desire, lo, I come in the volume of the book. I desire to do thy will, oh God. And because he did that, my friends, heaven is open. And we see where our home is. And we don't want to stay here long, because I want to go and be where the Lord Jesus Christ is. Lo, I come. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 9. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Friends, that body, that sacrifice, that servitude, that service, that sacrifice. He said, we're sanctified. We're made holy by that. It changed from not desired to no more, no longer required. He took it away. He said that every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down at the right hand of God from henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he had perfected forever them that are sanctified. Man, give me another 30 minutes, Brother James. This 10th chapter of Hebrews is hard to quit. Make me another appointment in a couple of weeks. I ain't finished yet. Man, I tell you what, there's some good stuff. I just love that statement. What a dramatic statement. Lo, I come. Oh, my friends, let's keep hearing that. Let's keep desiring that. Preachers, y'all keep preaching that. If you ever stop preaching that, I'm going to be upset at you. I'm gonna talk to you. I'm going to say something to you. Brother, y'all, I'm looking at y'all preachers right here. Brother Troy, Brother Ronnie, all y'all, Brother Mickey. Preach the gospel. Don't quit preaching it. Be ready to give an answer for that hope who is lieth in you. Hit the ground running. If you acted like Jonah and you spent some time in the belly of the whale, well, tell you what, hit the ground running like he did and just preach the gospel and tell the good news, the blessed story. If he was that willing for to come and to suffer unbearably, we ought to be willing to please him every day that we live. Oh, I know I failed. It's never enough. That's why we got to keep trying. Maybe that song is true that we sing. I think it is. When I see thee as thou art, I'll praise thee as I ought. Now, don't y'all think that's going to be a pretty good day? You know, you can say, we had a good meeting today. We had a sister at our church. She'd always say at the end, we had a good church today. It doesn't matter how bad I preached. She'd always say, we had a good church. And she meant it, too. Sometimes I feel like, well, the Lord blessed. I felt his spirit. Maybe I discharge my duty. But I'm not satisfied with it. It's going to have to take seeing my Lord with my own eyes to really praise him as I ought. Just what we see through a glass darkly is enough to inspire us to do things we thought we'd never do, and to dedicate our life to his service. Because now I say, Lord, I love my husband. I love his children. Take me to the door now. I'll be your servant. Because I can't think of a better way to spend my life than serving my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Can Wall Street do better for you? Has your 401k been real good? Has it given you what the gospel has? Now, my friends, we don't need to look any further. We found the truth. And the truth is the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to have to quit. I got too much I like to say. But I'm going to have to just tell everybody I love y'all very much. I really do. I love the old Baptist. I wish I could do better for you. Y'all come down and see me in San Antonio, Texas. Well, I'll take you to get some Mexican food, and then we'll preach the gospel. What more do you want? Mexican food and Primitive Baptist Church. I can bring you both of them. But y'all got to come down here to get it. God bless you. Love you. All right, Brother Conley, come right ahead and close the service.